Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And let others obsess on the horse race. We've got issues. It's our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. And it's Public Safety Week as we talk about crime and the police this week. Today, the issue is marijuana laws. New York City has been called the marijuana arrest capital of the United States. Last year, according to the stats that I've seen, nearly 50,000 people were arrested for marijuana possession in the city, many of them for displaying pot only when police told them to empty their pockets during a stop and frisk. Bill de Blasio wants to ban that kind of arrest. Joe Lotu would go much further, legalizing pot entirely. In New Jersey, Governor Christie signed a medical marijuana law that was passed before his election, but he signed it. Governor Cuomo opposes medical marijuana for New York. So let's talk about pot and crime and inequality with an advocate for reform, Gabriel Saya, New York director of the Drug Policy Alliance. Gabriel, thanks for coming on WNYC this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
And let's talk first about those 50,000 arrests for possession last year. Do you know how many of them were in that circumstance I described? Someone is stopped and frisked and told to empty their pockets. Then they reveal some pot at the officer's direction, and then they're arrested for public display.
Yeah, it's a significant majority of these arrests are made in this fashion, Brian. Consider that in 1990, there were roughly 900 arrests made for marijuana in public view. Remember, if marijuana is in a pocket or a bag, as long as it's not visible and as long as someone's not consuming it, you know, burning it, that's not a crime in New York. It's a violation. You can get a ticket. The moment that it becomes visible in public view, then it is a criminal offense. It's a misdemeanor. There were 900 of these arrests in 1990. There's roughly 50,000 of these arrests now. We interview people in the courts all the time across the city, and I can't tell you the number of stories that we hear, which is the vast majority of them, where someone says, I was stopped, frisked, the police told me to empty my pocket, I did this, and then I was arrested. Or worse, they say, I was stopped, they were conducting a frisk, and then they found marijuana in my pocket, and then they arrested me for marijuana in public view. That's not a frisk, that's an illegal search, and it shouldn't be happening.
And there's an inequality implication here, too. De Blasio has spoken about the disparate impact on the lives, mostly of Black and Latino young men, whose pot arrests stop them from getting student aid, jobs, even good housing. Again, in fairness, Lotu would go further and legalize marijuana altogether. But do you know the relationship to housing of a marijuana arrest on your record? What was de Blasio referring to there?
Well, in New York City, if you live in public housing and you have a marijuana arrest on your record, you can be subjected to eviction. And this is not uncommon. Any of the public housing units in the city of New York, for criminal offenses, for drug offenses specifically, even marijuana, you can be kicked out. And worse is that even if you're not in public housing, the mere fact of having an arrest record, whether or not you were ever convicted, just having an arrest record itself is something that landlords and banks and employers can find online. You know, they pay $12.95 in the digital age to get someone's arrest record. That doesn't mean that the record that they get is accurate. And so people do obtain these records and make decisions as to whether to rent a home or give a loan or even to hire somebody. And so these arrests do have fairly serious consequences. And yes, as you noted, those consequences are being borne disproportionately on Black and Latino communities, particularly young Black and Latino men here in the city of New York, even though we have ample data that shows quite convincingly that it's young white men who use marijuana at higher rates than do young men of color. But that you wouldn't know that by who's being arrested today.
Now, I mentioned that Joe Lotu supports legalization of marijuana. This is part of his libertarian streak. He's held this position for a long time before he decided to run for mayor. And he's not emphasizing it. In fact, he tries to blunt a backlash against that by saying a mayor has no power to legalize pot. But is that true? What would you say a mayor's power is over that?
Well, just to note, I think one of the more remarkable aspects with regard to drug policy in this mayoral election is that there was not one major candidate who didn't believe that the marijuana policies we currently have were broken. everybody agreed that they were broken and not working. They differed as to what they wanted to do about it. So people like Castamatitis and said, I only want to have medical marijuana. And then you had others who said, I would decriminalize and support medical marijuana. And then you had people like Loda or John Liu and Sal Albanese who said, you know, we should just end marijuana prohibition altogether. So that was very interesting that there wasn't one major candidate who disagreed that our current policies were broken. But in point of fact, the mayor of this city can do quite a lot. First and foremost is that they can direct the New York City Police Department to, one, abide by the current law. I mean, just that alone would significantly reduce the number of people who are processed through our criminal justice system every year. NYPD is blatantly breaking the law with these arrests. They should not be making these arrests. They are. It's the number one arrest here in the city. It costs taxpayers tens of millions of dollars every single year for these arrests to be made.
And Kelly the police commissioner has told the officers, I believe, after this came to light, largely through WNYC news team reporting, pat them on the back here, that these arrests were taking place in such large numbers during stops and frisks because the officers were asking them to empty their pockets. Kelly actually said he was directing them to stop. Do you have reason to believe that they haven't?
Well, based on our research and interviewing hundreds of people in courts in places like Brooklyn and Bronx and Manhattan, you would not know that that order had been given. It certainly has had very little impact. The arrests now are going down, and that is actually tracking very, very closely with the stops in the city. As the stop and frisk activities are reduced, these arrests also are reduced. But even so, as we interview people who have been arrested, they continue to tell these stories of being stopped by the police, instructed to empty their pockets, following that instruction, only then to find themselves in cuffs and taken down to the station to be processed.
Now, as for legalization, we know that Police Commissioner Kelly has insisted on the continued essential enforcement of most marijuana laws because he sees pot associated with other crimes, that people high on weed are more likely to commit violent crime, especially some of today's strains, which can make people more wound up rather than mellow. And so marijuana-oriented public hangouts are crime magnets, says Kelly. Mayor Bloomberg has said something similar, and we have an excerpt of him saying that. Listen.
I'm opposed to legalizing marijuana because I think all that will happen is the number one, it's much more potent than when you and I were the teenagers or whatever. And number two, the drug dealers are going to sell something. If they can't sell marijuana, if there's no money in marijuana, they'll start selling harder stuff.
Mayor Bloomberg with John Gambling on their WOR radio show. Do you acknowledge that at all at your group, Gabriel, and propose a way to deal with the kind of crime secondary to marijuana use in a legalized world?
Well, what we acknowledge, Brian, here is what we can learn based on the facts. And in looking at the facts, looking at the studies that have been done, conducting studies that dive into these matters, what Bloomberg and Kelly are saying has no basis in reality whatsoever. Take, for instance, the single largest quantitative study that's been done looking at whether or not there's a relationship between marijuana use and crime in the city of New York. Human Rights Watch took a cohort of 30,000 people who had been arrested for marijuana possession, and they followed those people, their court records, for 8 years. You know what they found? That the vast majority of those people never got in trouble again with the law. And those that did, right, roughly 10% ended up being arrested again for something else. The vast majority of that small group was arrested for things like marijuana possession or other low-level misdemeanor offenses. There was a very, very small number that was arrested for anything that was more serious, and that wasn't anything different than what you would expect in the general population. And so there's no evidence that if you arrest a bunch of people who are marijuana users, then you're going to end up with a big fish. And this notion that NYPD and Kelly have put forward that that's the case is simply not supported by the evidence or the facts. It's also probably not supported by most people's personal experience, given that, you know, nearly everybody either has tried or knows someone who has tried marijuana, and we just don't see that happening. With respect to the question of legalization, there's something that Mayor Bloomberg unfortunately kept reinforcing, which I can't tell is because he's making a political calculation or is because he simply is that uninformed, which is that prohibition is the absence of control and regulation, right? When we say we're going to make something illegal, we have absolutely no way to manage it, control it, regulate it. Prohibition is the absence of control. And so what Bloomberg is talking about is actually probably what will happen is probably much the opposite of what he said. Yeah. If we were to legalize marijuana, that you could control for the product's quality. You could card people before they purchased it. You could set up a regulatory mechanism to police the production and distribution. You would likely eliminate a lot of the black market activity that goes on related to the sale and production of marijuana that is oftentimes a feeding place for violence. So there's a lot. That's why the voters in Washington and Colorado, for instance, voted to end marijuana right. In those states. Those
and
were
we'll
not pro-pot votes.
And we'll see if it comes here at some future date. Meanwhile, Governor Cuomo won't even support medical marijuana. He's more conservative than Governor Christie on that. Christie signed the bill, though he wasn't thrilled about it. The legislature had passed that law as he was taking office, and he signed it, but also took a restrictive approach to the dispensing of it through prescription. So that's the New Jersey record. We've been talking about the mayoral candidates in New York City and their backs and forths on marijuana laws. And that, folks, is 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 7, Marijuana and the Law. We thank Gabriel Saya, New York Director of the Drug Policy Alliance. Gabriel, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Brian.
And Public Safety Week continues tomorrow on 30 Issues with Issue 8, Loda versus de Blasio on preventing terrorism post-Bloomberg.